Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I do want to give a shout-out to Brooke Cole, who is the wife and teacher of our wonderful Tim Cole, who is the deputy that trained us and taught us and walked us and drove us through the training course yesterday at Escambia Sheriff's Office. So, hey, Brooke, we see you. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Now to Wes Moreno, who is the Escambia County Administrator with a giant agenda today, including a committee of the whole meeting. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. That's a great lead-in song for a board meeting day.
I figured you'd like that. Hey, let's talk about one of the – I have a lot of things to get to with you, but I just want to make sure we highlight this. Escambia County partnered with Habitat to build some homes, and we're turning over keys this week. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I was talking with Commissioner May the other day. We were going around and doing ribbon cuttings and handing out welcome home baskets, and – you know, I said, man, if we could do this 5 days a week, every day of the week, that'd be great. I mean, it's, you know, you have these first-time homeowners, home buyers, and just a great program. The county built the 14 houses. We partnered with Habitat to be able to make the selections and go through their process for who's eligible and who's awarded the opportunity to buy the houses. And it's just great to see the young families take the keys and open the door and unlock the door, or sometimes it's a grandmother and her grandchildren, and they're just excited, they're elated. And you know, there's something about home ownership when you're in your first home and you're able to qualify and get that house, and you know, the sun shines a little brighter, you know, you have a little more hope and a little bit more faith that the hard work does pay off. And it's been a great week in that regard. It really has been.
It's good to get wins sometimes. So is this a program that you guys are going to continue and do with more homes in the future? What's the plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's our goal, is to put keys in the hands of new homeowners as fast, as fierce as we can. Whether we build the houses in-house or whether we partner with a partner like Habitat to be able to provide land for the houses in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you know, but we absolutely continue. We will absolutely continue to do this.
And so the just for people who might not be familiar with the program, and even I forget some of the details, as you mentioned, land, which, of course, the county has a lot of land, you know, for all kinds of reasons, and that's a useful thing. But if the county is providing either, you know, labor or building or whatever, what kind of, like, financial cost is there to the county to make these homes in the end?
Well, the construction of the homes were roughly a little under $200,000, and I'm not sure all the vetting process that Habitat goes through.
Sure.
You know, we get a little bit of money back there when they do a closing, not much. It's a small amount, but it's enough to keep the program moving forward and continue, putting, you know, like I said, putting keys in the hands of the homeowners. It's enough to do that. And nobody's making a lot of money out of it, and that's not the goal of it.
Right.
The big goal is to put people in houses. So that's what we're doing.
Expanding capacity. Totally understand. ECAT is going to be purchasing 9 minibuses of various kinds today. Is this expanding the microtransit, or is this just replacement for fleet we're already, you know, kind of aging out?
It is an expansion of microtransit what that is. We have some vehicles that, you know, it's proven to be a very successful program right now. And there's some vehicles that are available to us that are on the ground that we can get rather immediately, if you will. And so that's what we're trying to take advantage of and bring those in-house, get them wrapped up, get them ready to go, and put drivers behind the wheels and expand the program. And we're looking forward to doing that.
Long term, we're going to be, I assume, shedding some of the big buses. Is that already something that you're looking at? Do we have market for those?
We are looking at routes right now. We're reviewing the route with some route study, and we will absolutely be consolidating some routes, getting rid of some of the larger buses, and implementing some of these newer vehicles. And yes, that is something you will see in the near future. And also, as you know, have a $30 million grant to build a new mass transit facility. So when we design this facility, we will design it in a fashion that supports microtransit and maybe a few other innovative things and so you'll see us get away from these big, big, huge maintenance shops with these big buses.
Right.
It's expensive. It's expensive to hire people to work on those big diesel engines and to do all that kind of work. And it's hard to recruit those people because we're in competition throughout, you know, the local community. And a good diesel mechanic, they make good money, and it's hard for us to compete. So we're looking to make that move and make that modification.
And that location, that was decided, and that's the one that's going to be over off of Pace to the east side between Pace and Palafox. Is that right?
That is correct, yep.
South, a little south of the intersection there. Okay, very good. Actually, lots of things that are on the agenda for today. One is that you guys are going to be purchasing, five Ford F-550 trucks, and then you're going to be outfitting them for EMS. Is this as part of – because my understanding is that EMS is also doing a – not quite ambulance-level response capability. Like, they're also moving to, it's not microtransit, it's not the right word, but they're doing alternative to regular ambulance trucks. Am I understanding this all correctly, or am I putting things together that don't belong together?
No, we have some Transit Connect vehicles that we're using for transport, if you will.
Oh, the inter-facility transports. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, right, that's right. But these will be ambulances that will be running 911 calls. It's just another enhancement to the system, growing the system, trying to make our response times better. And I will tell you, in the past couple of weeks, my family's had to use EMS quite regularly, unfortunately. But they've been right there every time. The response times have been fantastic, and I really appreciate Chief Watts, Chief Stevens, and Dr. Abo, and all the men and women, the paramedics and the EMTs over there at EMS. Just fantastic service they're running, and we're getting better every day, and this is just another enhancement to that.
We had an item on the agenda that caught me a little by surprise. The Bay Center ice plant upgrade is looking at a change order of not quite $3 million. Is that right? And change orders, are usually we try to avoid those, but what's going on here?
Yeah, true. Yeah, so we had an estimate already. You know, when we started the project, we never really encumbered the part of the project that covers the installation. I mean, we're in the middle of installation right now, but the installation of the ice plant. And so when we had an estimate, now we finalized the estimate, we have a hard number, and now we're going to encumber the money. So is it a change order? Technically, yes. But we knew what we were going to do. We knew we were going to have to pay it, but we wanted a good hard number before we went after it and encumbered the money. And that's what this is all about. It looks like a large change order, but it's something that was planned on, part of a phased approach, if you will.
Okay, so it's I'm going to give an analogy, and you tell me if I'm thinking about this the right way. You're thinking about getting a new car, and in your mind, you're going to spend, you know, $30,000. But then, you know, as you're kind of researching and time passes and you're thinking about everything else, turns out that the car you actually try to buy is going to be $35,000. And so the loan is $35,000, and that looks like it's $5,000 more, but really you had never bought it in the first place yet, so it's not technically a change order. Is that kind of the same, what we're hearing here?
Yeah, that's a good analogy, yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad I understand. That's always what I try to do. I always try to understand what's going on. You and I have talked so many times about this, and it's been a while since you and I talked, but the Galvez boat ramp, you and I talked many times about the redesign there. That has, as a result of the town hall that Steven Stroberger did with the folks and all the very negative feedback, my understanding is that that project is basically on pause and or not even going to happen. But is there a new plan, a different plan, anything going to happen at that Galvez boat ramp as far as you know right now?
There might be small initiatives, something to divert the water so it doesn't erode the shoreline there. We have placed some sand there, some picnic tables there. But as far as, like you said, the major changes that were being talked about and presented, and we were nowhere really near the construction to begin with, so we do have time to take a step back. Maybe review the plan, maybe have another neighborhood meeting and see if we can come up with something more, a little more acceptable to the folks there in the area. Or maybe we just, shift the directions altogether and go after something else.
Okay.
But, yeah, we are kind of in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah, because I know the basic stance of the people who showed up at the town hall was don't touch it, you know, and that. Look, if that's what people want, then, you know, hey, that's the cheapest alternative of all, right? So that's, you know, not so bad.
I'm all about it. We've had a couple of those meetings lately where people said, we don't want it. Ain't no problem. Good. Maybe we'll take our money and go somewhere else.
Wish we'd have heard that before the Perdido Key roundabout. You know, like, so it would have been nice. On temporary labor, as I read it, across all departments, we've got maybe $5 to $6 million of temp labor. And you tell me, you're the administrator, is temp labor necessary, cheaper, more expensive than hiring full-time positions? Is this make us more nimble? Does this make us more expensive? Like, you tell me how to understand that item.
Well, it is absolutely necessary, and it is absolutely much cheaper than a full-time position.
Okay. Because of benefits, I assume, right?
Well, benefits is huge, yeah. And then sometimes we don't need 40 hours a week. Sometimes we just need 20 hours a week or maybe 30 hours a week at a position.
Gotcha.
So they do enhance our workforce. It is much cheaper than hiring a full-time position. And, you know, just like public works, you know, in the past we've hired temporary labor to come out and do seasonal mowing. And I know some of the other departments, the ID uses temporary labor as well. It is a facet. It is a strategy, but absolutely it's needed, and absolutely it's much cheaper than a full-time position.
I know one of the things that got added to the legal section of the agenda for today had to do with the whole retirement system, the 401A, all of that stuff from the past. When you first read it, it looks like the board is approving $300,000 to compensate now election supervisor Bender, former commissioner, and $27,000 or so for still commissioner Stephen Berry. But this is, and again, you correct me if I'm wrong, this is not going back and doing the like $250,000 compensation that Lumen and Stephen had asked for that the board did not ever vote to approve. This is something entirely different and has to do with state obligations, basically the state's billing you guys. Tell me what I don't understand here.
No, you're exactly right. This is not a reach back in any shape, form, or fashion. This is simply treating those commissioners or former commissioners just as you would any other commissioner for that matter, any other elected official as you would. So it's basically playing catch up. You know, I think some of them are buying some of their years of service back that they're paying for. But this is something we've received some invoices from the state of Florida, which typically you don't have a choice but to pay those invoices. And typically you wouldn't see these things on an agenda, but it's been requested that they be put on an agenda. And so that's what we've done, and we're hoping to move forward and get this behind us.
Very good. Also, just I thought it was interesting, two things. One is code enforcement. You had 12 companies apply. This is for doing lawn cutting and maintenance and ponds and all that kind of stuff. You approved all 12 of them. I assume that's because the more companies to do the work, the more you can find the right one to do it. And there's a lot of this kind of work that the county needs done. Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a multiple award contract, if you will. We approved the list of vendors to be on the list. And then when we have abatement projects come up and we put a scope of work out, any of the folks that are on the list can put a bid in for the work. And we'll go with the lowest bidder and most responsive, lowest bidder, and that's what we'll do. But yeah, there's some qualifications to be on that list, and so that's what this is doing, approving that list.
And you guys are going to buy two jet skis for recreation?
Yeah.
For the
Yeah, we're just going to ride around.
Oh, all right, cool. If I'll see Wes Moreno out on his brand new $15,000 jet ski, I assume this is for either EMS or fire or life, you know, beach lifeguards.
It's for fire.
It's for fire. Okay.
Fire, water rescue. That's what it is.
Yeah. And how many? What is our fleet right now? Do you have any ballpark? Because I've seen them in the stations, but you know, my estimate would be something like, you know, 5 to 10, and they came in very useful in the flood of 2014. But you tell me, do you know roughly how many we have right now?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number. Okay. I would say probably around 8 to 10. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else? I mean, there's so much other stuff we didn't even get to talking about. Man, the construction, by the way. You know, Chemstrand, you're in like right in the middle of the Olive Road possibilities of revamping that between Palafox and Davis, all of that. Oh, and you know what? Something came up the other day, and I just didn't know the answer. The West Jackson Street improvements, where is that in planning? Is that in right-of-way acquisition?
It's in planning.
Okay.
We do need some right-of-way, and then there's some drainage aspect to that project as well. So, yeah, but yeah, it is in planning.
Okay. I couldn't remember, and I didn't think any dirt had been turned yet, but I wasn't sure. That's why I wanted to ask. Well, very good. Big agenda, including committee of the whole meeting to talk about the land trust presentation on that this morning. Wes, I always appreciate you clarifying some of these things. I know we kind of go through stuff fast, but people might have different things that they find interesting, and you know, I'm always glad to get the information about. Thanks for sharing it with us and running our big county, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good meeting today.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good day now.